that.
No problem. That's fine. We are
Hello,
recording.
hello. Anyone hear me?
Yes.
There we go. I was actually on. I heard you say, tell Monica to get in here. She's cybersecurity. I was there, but literally my computer just overheated. And it's
Oh.
been doing that this week for some
Of
strange
course.
reason, and
Yeah,
it just cut me out again. But
you
I'm on
weren't
my
listed,
phone now.
so all right, okay,
So
good. Well,
I know I am presenting. So if I could just, I guess go a little bit later in the
yeah,
time
that's
frame.
fine. Yep, that's
Okay,
fine.
wonderful. Thank you.
No problem. All right, Tabitha, you go ahead when you're ready.
Okay, how do I know if my screen shared?
We don't see it, so it must not have.
We would tell
Okay.
you.
Okay.
Yeah, we
Well,
will tell you.
here. All right.
Sorry if I missed something. My sound just cut out.
No, we hear you.
Okay.
Okay, now I see your screen. Now I don't.
I had to go back and click share with sound. I forgot.
Okay.
Okay, y'all can see it now?
Yes. I
Okay.
can. Yes.
All right, so I couldn't make my mind up what I wanted to do. So I couldn't get all fancy like some of y'all because, I'm new at this, so I'm still learning. So I chose to talk about Forescout technology. I've never heard of it before until I started doing some research. But it was founded in April of 2000, and it went public in 2017. The headquarters, they're in San Jose, California, and there's many locations worldwide. Now, it did come public in 2017, but in 2020, it was bought for $1.9 billion by the U.S. private equity Advent International, so now it's a private company again. And I have this video.
How you work is constantly changing. So is your network reality. Your security framework helps you protect your network reality from constant threats. Keeping them aligned is a non-stop journey. We're on that journey with you, every step of the way. With Forescout, you see 100% of your network, all connected devices, and all threats and risks. Our approach is powerful and adaptable, taking care of everyone and all the things in your organization. Forescout gives you continuous automated control so you can focus on other things. We've been doing this for over 20 years, solving challenges around the world, like the ones you're facing now. We believe in partnership and that security is a journey shared. Forescout.
That was just a brief video about what they do. And that was designed to help organizations with cyber risk through automation and data-powered insights. The customer's data is protected by their cloud-based services. They have on their platform device visibility, asset management, device compliance, network access control, network segmentation, incident response. And then they have different extended enterprise networks. On that platform, the device visibility, it's connected devices are visible once entering the network. The asset management is real-time inventory of everything on the network. The device compliance, you gain real-time compliance without periodic scans. The network segmentation is a real-time device context to automate the policy-based assignment and enforcement of access control list and the VLANs. The network access control, you can see your devices and you can control them. Incident response is coordinated and automated incident response with no agents or blind spots. And here on this slide is just an example of what the dashboard looks like. you can see up here where it shows all the devices that's connected, what's wired, what's wireless, the data center, what's on the cloud, and the operational technology. And then over here, you have the function. It gives the percentages of, you say, the employee workstation, mobile facilities, VoIP. And then over here, you have the operating systems. It tells what all operating systems are on these devices, Windows, Linux, macOS, iOS, Android. And then on the next one is the vendor model, the vendor and the model. It tells the percentage of what, you know, it's Dell or Apple, Cisco, Amazon. And over here at the bottom is the compliance overview. And it just shows like it's 91% compliant with the devices and 9% non-compliant. And then this is the devices that are at risk. And then it shows the top 5 unauthorized window applications installed. And they have different ones, you know, the dashboard, then assets and segmentations. But I didn't go through all of that. I just clicked on this one. It's the only one that I could find that had a showed an example that was really good that had all the information on it. ForScout also offers professional package services. And on here, they have the professional services training vouchers, and if I can get that to come up, this is the professional service and training vouchers. They provide flexible options for ForScout customers to purchase the professional services and or the training. They can buy the vouchers at the time of original purchase, products, or a separate standalone purchase. Then the adoption expertise subscription is designed to help the customers adopt and mature their ForScout solution to address evolving business needs. And there here's all the package information. And it gives throughout the whole everything, like all of the websites that I went through, there is so much different information on there that you can look through. This is the iXtend module services. They're designed to help customers with their integrations using ForScout team of experts. These services, they enable you to automate security processes between the ForScout Continuum platform and other IT security solutions. And then there's the ForScout onboarding package data sheet. It provides an optimal mix of professional services to jumpstart the customer's implementation and swiftly drive the value of the customer's environment. The subject matter expert advisory subscription. This subscription includes the professional services for engineering or architecture resources to assist with the evolution and expansion of the customers. The ForScout CMDX onboarding package. This just provides an optimal mix of professional services to jumpstart the customer's CMDX implementation and swiftly drive ForScout's value in the customer's environment. And the last one that is on there, ForScout delivery package. It provides an optimal mix of services to continue customers' existing ForScout implementation. It's a combination of solutions architect, professional services, engineer, and project manager who will help expand the single IT or OT use case. And there's, like I said, there's plenty of information on all of it. ForScout gives the customers more device intelligence than any other company in the world. They allow organizations across every industry to accurately classify risk and stop cyber threats without disrupting the critical business assets. They also offer a 90-minute test drive to learn about its platform. This will allow you to see how quickly it identifies high-risk devices and act faster. They launched a new complimentary service in May of 2022 called Frontline. The highly trained cybersecurity analysts will help the cybersecurity teams with ransomware and real-time threats. They will proactively identify risk, enable accelerated incident response, and mature security posture. All findings will be documented and detailed in a report. And I think I had a link on this one to show the different. There's three different, the 90-minute hands-on virtual test drive. There's three different ones. You can choose, you know, which one it's right for you, so you can go through and do all of them just to see which one is your fit. And then on this next slide, I have just the different threats and risks Foresight Forescout looks for. And the real-time threats are monitored live and identified. Ransomware is one of the threats that Forescout helps to avoid. Ransomware is malicious software and is one of the main threats of organizations today. Some of the other cyber threats are threat actors, new malware, active hacking groups. With ransomware, there are different types. And then I have a slide here that has the different types of ransomware. This is the most well-known. The Bad Rabbit, CryptoLocker, GoldenEye, Jigsaw, Locky Maze. I cannot say that word. Neither one of those. And I just got different pictures of different ones that's on there. And that is all of my presentation. Not sure that that was 15 minutes.
That was great. I had not even heard of that program that you're talking about, the whole thing.
Yeah, so I've never that was, heard of it at all. Like, that was yeah. the first time I've ever seen anything about it. I don't even know how I stumbled up on it.
Typical of IT. Well, great job.
Thank you.
Dale, are you ready? Are you muted, Dale?
All right. Yes, I was. Oh, can yeah. you guys see my screen now?
Yes, I can see it.
All right. This is my masterclass presentation for ASP.NET Core MVC and offboarding. This is my second project here, and I coded it from scratch, so it took me like half the time here at PGIP to code this, and I thought I would share it because it was a really neat concept. This is my first time doing anything in C#. So I was very excited about that. And on the agenda, stepping outside the comfort zone from Python to C# and ASP.NET Core MVC, code review and learning points, what I've learned from building a model view controller, and summary. When I first started here, I wanted to learn Python. So I did Python after I learned a little bit about Git. I did tutorials, downloaded it, and did all the basics with it. So I started coding in Python, and it became a little easy for me. The stuff I was doing just wasn't challenging me enough. So I built one successful interactive story game, which I need to put on Git here this week. And like I said, I was getting too comfortable with Python. I just wanted a challenge, so... So Python was difficult at first. It was space sensitive, and I only coded backend the program because that was my interest when I first came here. So I was able to write one game with mainly just definitions on one page. It became an interactive story. So with the challenge, I talked to supervisors and mentors. For anybody new in this class, if you don't know where you want to go with software development, Jordan Mendez, he's the software dev lead, and he helped me out a lot with picking something in a direction to go, to step outside of my comfort zone. I'm not very strong at C#, so it was a little nerve-wracking at first. A lot of tags and things I didn't understand. But I wanted to try something that was full stack. So I went with a ASP.NET Core MVC Model View Controller. And basically what it is, it's a web application that uses C# and CSHTML and also SQL Server. And it's a medium in between. It's an e-commerce shopping site. So you can create a profile, put something in your shopping cart, buy it, or you can go on an administrator side and make changes to the website, all in a friendly user interface. I'm going to share my code here in a second. I got it in Visual Studio Code, and I have it on GitHub, and the tutorial that I used is on YouTube and GitHub as well. And I added, I'll put this on my user folder, on my intern folder. So that way, if anybody wants to check it out, there's links right here for, this is the YouTube tutorial. This right here is the GitHub, so it has all the code on it, all those pushes, everything, all the branches and notes that he took on the way if you wanted to compare your work. But I noticed a lot of stuff was different due to it being the tutorial was in a .NET 5.0, and that is not supported anymore, so I couldn't use it, and I used 6, and I didn't think there would be that big of a difference, and there's not much I had to change from it. And well, here, I'll show you guys my code here. Okay. So model view controller here. And this is, I'm about 3/4 of the way done with it. I still have the rest of this week to go, and I'm finishing it up. It took me a lot longer than I thought it would take to get this typed up and get it coded. But we started with the album CS, and record label stage CS. And this is the album here, and what we're doing is we're building a table for the SQL server. And so you have public album ID, album name, year, album description, price, image URL, and date, and that'll all build build attributes on your table. And then with the controllers, they go in between it. So here's the controller that it's going to use to grab that context from the database and view it on your page. And I finished all those. And then AppDB initializer right here I'm skipping ahead a little bit. AppDB context, this is your builder right here. So it's going to build the relationships between tables, and it's the model builder for DB context on AppDB context. And here we have the relationships between the table and the actual, or the table right here and the controller right here, the controller name. Which these names will get a folder which has the index in it with this CSHTML. So all this is in C#. Let's see. Trying to make this my main page to go into when you get onto the site. But for some reason, I tried to run it. It's not working. It says I have no errors, but obviously there's an error somewhere that's critical. So we use classes. And they're just basic. I can't even find the word I'm looking for. I didn't write it down. But they're default classes, default class styles and stuff. So it's not like I had to pull it from anywhere special. And this is all using an entity framework, which I hear does have problems sometimes. But I'll show you if we try to run it, which hopefully it doesn't crash on me. I got too many things running at the same time on this. And for all the pages, these are the These are the HTML that it'll go to. So these are what's gonna, these are what you're gonna be able to see on the web page. So when you first come on here, you see the this was a successful. So I know my database is working. It says my problem was somewhere with the initializer. Like if we go to it's throwing internal server errors, and it's a dependency injection, and we just can't figure out exactly what to do with it. I've been trying to work it out with Jordan, and we're gonna have it worked out this week. But it's a shame. I only got a week left here because I would really like to get this working, and I'm obsessed with it. But yeah, I've had a lot of issues with it so far. So bugging. So I have my code. I have it all built properly. It's not throwing any errors when I test it, but when I go onto the page, it's having issues. And I'm gonna show you guys where I found it real quick here. Okay, so we got, and this stuff is all gonna crash, isn't it? Let's shut that down so that I can. Yeah, forgive my computer speed. It's slow. I got a lot of stuff on here. And I need it all. I can't delete anything yet. So let's see. Okay. So this is just not gonna work, is it? Okay, there we go. So this is where I found the tutorial for this. A VC application demo, and this was a year ago that this was made. So I hate this one. This doesn't. I'm not gonna play the whole overview, but the index for that code that I just showed you should have something kind of like this that pops up. Except I made my content different. I made it a CD store. So it would have your album name on here, and then what stage it's on, the category, start date, end date, status, so on, so on. But I still have yet to make the e-card. I'm in the last few videos now, and I'm hoping that maybe I missed something, or there's another linking page somewhere, or another part of a page that I'm that I'm missing. So one thing I hate about following tutorials is if you don't exactly know what you're doing, then you don't know when it's going to work. You don't know if you're missing something or not. But with that being said, I did learn a lot from this. I learned that I like full stack, and I do not much like entity framework. Like Jordan was saying, there seems to be a lot of issues that pop up that are invisible and they're just hard to find. And like I said, I was going off a .NET 5 tutorial, and .NET 5 is no longer supported. 6 is all they had available. I'm not sure if this is where some of my issue is, but I noticed a few differences in what made the program work as far as running the code. Model view controller is a great concept, and I do want to continue learning more about it. In this case, this was an e-commerce site with administrator privilege, shopping cart, and database interaction. Like I said, a lot of errors, and it was really difficult. Just where I'm offboarding this week, so I was very fresh, but behind the ears new. Didn't know exactly what I want to do. Don't know which direction I want to run. If I have any advice for anybody else, is don't be afraid to step outside of your comfort zone. Because even though this program isn't working and it might fail, I still learned a lot from it. And that those lessons are invaluable, and I'll carry those with me throughout my career. So then course, by references. Irvis Troopja is where I got it. And like I said, I'll put this on my intern folder. And if somebody wants to check it out, you guys have the links right here. And thank you very much.
Excellent. That's a great idea to come up with that.
Yeah, I thought it would be fun. It was a lot of stuff that I didn't really quite get. It was a lot of research, a lot more than I intended on. I'm still not quite done. I was hoping that I'd be done with all the coding and testing and finally just getting all the last bugs out of it. But I noticed also on the GitHub for it, one of the messages on it said that he had a lot of issues. So maybe it's not just me. I wish I would have read that first before I started it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, great job either way. That looks like it's going to come along real well. And you can stay after with Gita and maybe grab an intern to help you build it out. Maybe somebody will know, some C# that can help you after that too.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about that, staying on with the Gita just to get a little bit more training.
Right. Belt, exactly. So. Yep. And then help teach someone else how to do it. Maybe they can do one too.
Yeah, sounds absolutely good.
All right. Thank you. Awesome. You're welcome. Monica, your turn.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. My computer came back on just now, and I'm trying to keep it cool with a fan. So I hope you don't hear the fan too bad.
I don't hear it. So
wonderful.
We're good to go. Yeah.
Okay, let me get over here to share my screen. Just a moment. So thanks everyone for being a little patient, because today all things that could go wrong was seeming to do that. Okay, I'm going to share. Skip to share. Okay. All right, can everyone see my screen now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, lovely. Thank you. All right, so of all things, I am going to talk about Zoom today. So some simple aspects of Zoom. I'm going to go ahead and start my slide now. I'm going to cut this fan off. All right, so simple aspects of Zoom. So Zoom is a video conferencing communication platform that allows customers to link up together via audiovisual, auditory, mobile, and chat. Zoom requires a Wi-Fi connection and equally supported device. Zoom works with multiple operating systems. This class will be for Windows 11. All right, so to get started, you should install the Zoom app by going to zoom.us to create an account. So once you get it, you have went ahead and got on and downloaded your Zoom for your computer or laptop, so forth. This is what it should look like. Minus if you could see Marjorie's picture down there. I don't know if you can, but this is what it should look like. All right, this is the installed Zoom app. So before you can get started, or before you get started, if you would like, you can go up to this little icon. I blew it up here. This is where you will have your profile picture. It's right above the little settings gear. Okay, so let's go ahead and do that. So once you're inside, I'm not gonna talk about all the different options here in Zoom, but this is just to tell you, like I said, it's real simple to try to change your profile picture. In this case, this is mine, says morals, ethics, etc. And I was saying, this is go to my profile, and then you would edit your image. And once you click on your image, like a little pencil would show up. I'm not for sure how many people know too much about Zoom. I am a teacher. I teach young kids. And a lot of my teachers or coworkers, they did not know, you know, these little different aspects that Zoom had. And a lot of people have gone to like Google. So it's okay too now. I'm not bashing Google at all, definitely. But once again, this is about Zoom. All right, let's go back to after you have installed the Zoom app. Here we are. And in doing so, you want to create a meeting, okay? So you would click on the new meeting icon here. And once you click on it, this page or this will show up when a new window comes up with join with computer audio for most people. I'm not for sure if that's across the board, but this is what shows up on mine. All right. And across the bottom, you will have this Zoom controls bar. So once the Zoom, went too far. Back one. Sorry about that. So once again, you'll hit the join with computer audio, and down below you have your Zoom's controls bar. But also, just so that you can invite others that may be on like a mobile phone or something that's not in on a laptop or so forth, you can click on this little icon here. I blew it up here to make it bigger. And what it brings up is some information about your meeting. Your meeting ID, you're the host, and a passcode so that you or and even the link that you can go ahead and send out to someone that may not be on a laptop or like I said, maybe just on their mobile phone or anyone else you would like that may not even have a Zoom app installed. So once that happens, these are your controls that I was telling you about, the Zoom meeting controls bar. And these are the little aspects I want to talk about that are across here. Your audio, your video. Oh, I did not necessarily the security. Your participants, chat, share screen, record, reactions, apps, and whiteboards. We've dealt with some of this already in this internship. So just quickly, once you click on mute or the mic down here, this is options that show up with this little arrow. Here you can, if you have different or multiple microphones and speaker like I did, I put on here just for this, you could use these or switch back and forth between them. And if you couldn't hear something, you had to test it. Like, we were like, can we hear you? You know, we would ask everyone, can they hear us? You can test speaker and microphone. And then your computer goes through like a little scenario and sees if you can hear its tones. All right, so clicking on the arrow or the audio settings, it'll give you many options here. Once again, I was thinking about testing your speakers, and here they are. This is what it would look like. And it would go through, like I said, array of options. Next, we're going to go ahead and move on to the video, where I think this is the fun part. So you have your integrated webcam if you have a camera on your laptop or computer. You can also blur your background, choose a virtual background or a video filter, or look at the video settings in particular, which looks just like the audio settings, just on a different option. Oh, I didn't know that. Didn't get through. So I like to play around a little bit, and I was changing mine. I was trying to change my backgrounds, and it was showing me these are some of the different backgrounds that you can have. And this is one option I chose. And you can turn on your camera, off your camera. And in this case, I blew it up, and my face should actually show up here. Oh, not just yet. Well, sorry about that. I forgot. I was going to show you how to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and push this video, and I hope everybody can hear it. Oops, sorry about that.
Monica, is your mic still on?
Yes.
Okay. I just couldn't hear you.
Oh, you cannot hear the video that's going on?
No. Did you share your sound?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Let me see. I don't know. Let me go over there. Oh, I hope I did, because I have a lot of those. Well, I'll just go through it because I don't think it's shared and I've already inputted it in here. So I do apologize, everyone. I will talk as it is playing. So thank you for letting me know, Marjorie.
No worries.
All right. So I was saying, here we have our different virtual backgrounds from your background edits and effects and different filters. If you clicked on across here, you see your different filters. And you can change and put a hat on your head or a graduation cap. Yay, which I'll be doing next week. And it will show up when your picture comes up. So, and the last one was the avatars. So I created, which was new to me in this Zoom, where I created an avatar. And once I click on the avatar, it might take a little second here, it'll pop up. And instead of having your face, you will have an avatar. And it actually moves around and so forth. So I had a problem earlier about my camera being sideways, and I didn't know why. I didn't understand why I kept doing that, even when I was coming into the intern. But now I know, hey, boom, push, rotate 90 degrees, and here I am, or the person or whatever avatar you chose. And then it comes up. So I thought this was so neat to have new avatars in the Zoom. Not for sure if the internship or other companies would necessarily like this, but at school with your friends and so forth, for your family, it'll be just fine, I'm sure. So once again, these are all the different avatars. You can have animals, people, and so forth. It might do a lot of lag, but I hope not. All right, so I'm going to move on. That's how you do the different backgrounds. All right, I'm going to the next screen. Oh, let me stop it. It's not going to my next screen. Ah. All right, sorry about that. So once again, I was saying here where you would see, if you just did one of the backgrounds, you would choose a background. And then if you had your camera off, you would see nothing in here. And then, ooh, all of a sudden, you would see a picture. Sorry to blow that up. All right. Next, as we go across the Zoom control bars here, you can go to invite or participants, which allows you to go invite. I think I just went through some of that. But yeah, you can invite people once again that aren't on your laptop. I know I just said that. I repeated myself. So here is a video of how you can do that. So I'm going to play it as I talk. So it at least show you. All right. And I was also learning how to use that OBS software. It's awesome. So once again, you will go to your new meetings and you're trying to invite people that aren't or don't have their mobile or their laptop. Did I just go through that? And you can click on this. It'll show you your meeting IDs. So you hit new meeting, you connect. Or you can give the person ask them to hit join and give them that information that pops up. And this is showing you your own personal ID. So we're going to push the new meeting. And it's going to show you what happens on this video. I do apologize again for you not being able to hear it. So as I was saying before, the join computer with computer audio pops up. And then you can go to participants, hit invite. And across the top there, you will see contacts. You can get them by your contacts in your own computer. You can go to desk phones, or you also may go to email, which I find most useful here. excuse me, you would have your default email, like your Microsoft, or some people have AOL, I think, still. You have Yahoo, and in this case, Gmail. And this is the one I was using. So you would click on it, and then Zoom will automatically set up an email, including all your information for the meeting, and you would just type in all the participants that you would want to join. So in my case, it was just me. So I was typing in my name. And after you typed it in and hit OK, like I said, this is fantastic for people who not have it initially. And then you would just hit send and it would go to their calendars if you haven't set that up, or straight to their emails. And they would click on it and then they could join you in a meeting. All right, so let me go to the next one. All right, so once again, we're going across the Zoom controls bar. Next, you have chat. So we've used this a lot, so I didn't stay on this one, but you can show your chat previews and see people talking in their chats. Next, we have your shared screens. If you click on the arrow, you have, it is up to you what you want to share or how you allow your meeting to go. You can use advanced sharing options. In this case, you can have multiple people sharing simultaneously, and who can share. You can say if it's just your hosts, because you can have more than one host, or all participants. Kind of like this one. So if you have multiple screens, this would pop up. It would ask you, what do you want to share? Here's share screens from your computer monitors. All right. Next, you will have your recording. So if people like, you know, the recording to take place. So once you hit recording, that was at the bottom, you can see here is pause and stop recording. It's recording now. And then when you hit stop recording, the record symbol comes back, which is just a dot, and you're stop recording. And then it creates an MP4 file for you. I thought that was actually neat too. Next, we have reactions. We do this all the time, again, in internship, where when something happens or someone says something and you want a reaction, or you want to show a reaction. In this case, we were talking about sometimes when we were in participants, you can see the participants who lined up on the side. And as you raise and lower your hand can come up here. And then, or you can lower your hand after you're done by hitting lower your hand here. And it'll show here. So that's how you use your reactions. If you hit the little, I can't move this picture, but if you hit the little three arrows here, you can see that, I mean, not arrows, but dots, more reactions would show up, or emojis. So we talked there, like again, as we're going across the bar, I hadn't seen apps before. So I'll be using this for my class. So I call it the new feature, apps and whiteboards, where if you click on apps and you would like to play a game with all the people that are on your group or in your meeting and to bring some type of, you know, camaraderie or just knowledge of what that you talked about, you can bring in apps and you'll click on apps. And then what pops up is over here would be like a list of apps. That is after you hit discover. But for me, I was using a Kahoot, and I would do that for my class. And a Kahoot is just like a game, once again, like where you would make up a Kahoot, or you could discover Kahoot about different questions about technology, just or anything you want in the world, something will come up and you can have everyone on the meeting play it. I thought about doing it here, but I was like, oh, my lag is so bad. I was like, no, that wouldn't be a good idea. All right, so next, we have whiteboards. And I thought this was an awesome thing. Also, like they have templates too. I actually had a whiteboard. I was just scribbling on it. But to use their templates, once again, you would go to whiteboard. You would click on here and the whiteboards would come up. And then you would hit templates. Here, once again, find this super useful for like a meeting where you need to do brainstorm. You can type in here. In this case, I was typing SWOT. So SWOT, where your strength, weaknesses, and so forth. So I have a video about it. Hope it's on here. So this is about whiteboards. This is the video of it. Excuse me. So as I was saying, you have your whiteboards. And this is the one I was playing on these, just playing around. But after more investigation, you can add a new whiteboard there. After more investigation, I pushed templates, and I found the SWOT template. So here you could just show what happens. When you hit templates, all these different templates show up. You could do brackets and so forth. I typed in SWOT again. And then you click on that, and the template shows up, and you say that this is the template you would like to use for our brainstorming or strategies. And you can have it share with everyone. And you open the board, and everyone can get their ideas right here on this SWOT board or template whiteboard. This is incredible. This is something I was using in school already on the academic side, where we were actually doing this, but it was individually. And then we would just email what we thought. But this is like right all at once, on time, right? Real time. And this was just awesome to me. I thought this was a good use of having a Zoom video conferencing. This can be, like you said, all over the world. This is all over the world, and everybody's sharing their ideas. And you can share later after the meeting is over. They can keep those boards. So, okay. Next. Oh, this is the same one. Sorry about that. So, okay, after we went through those and your apps, we have, trying to get to the next slide. I'm trying to stop this. Okay, so, oh my goodness, this won't go to the next board. Sorry, everyone, it's not going to the next screen. Exit. So, okay, once again, that was covering the apps feature and the whiteboard feature. And here, I thought I would put in a little thing. So best if you don't have it, I think a tip would be install Microsoft Teams, because it's easier to communicate as far as chatting and so forth, and sharing your ideas that way, and then putting in your Zoom meets right into your chats. So here's a question. A frequently asked question, I would say. It says, what's the difference between Zoom and Google Meet? For me, I believe it's just what one is more familiar with. If you've been using Google all since you've been using computers, then you're going to be more familiar with Google Meet and want to use that. And in the more like the business world, you actually use the Zoom, I think. I think that's what people are basically used to. So Google Meet and Zoom aren't that different. They are, to me, basically the same. And of course, according to Risenwitz, Google Meet's main advantages over Zoom are its ability to save a chat and its cheaper pricing and greater offerings at the free level. So also, if you want to know more about Zoom, there is, you can do a paid version of Zoom, which allows you to do webinars, and you can have different hosts, and excuse me, and it would allow you to do polls. Like, you can ask a question, and right on the spot, everyone can do a poll about what the question you had. And excuse me, I don't have the full version here, but this is about a webinar. I'm not for sure we can hear it. I'm going to try to play it quickly. And tell me if you can hear it or not, please. Can you hear it?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to play it then. So, because I thought we could be able to hear it, but it's not. But it's telling you about a Zoom webinar and polling and so forth, another aspect of Zoom. And here, for all who want to know a little bit more about Zoom too, there will be a webinar about what's new at Zoom, like kind of what I was going through. So you can register and it's actually on January 25th, 2023 at 12 o'clock. That's the only one they have coming up this month. And it's going to tell you about the aspects of Zoom, like different aspects of Zoom. And you can go to this. I can put it in the chat if necessary, but it's called the registration. You have to register for it. So it's coming up. And if you like what I was telling you, a little bit aspects, I'm sure they'll have a whole lot more. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm done.
Excellent job.
Whoops. Thank you. I'm trying to get off the chair.
You had a lot on there that I didn't know about. That's pretty cool. We actually don't get to use when I'm teaching because they've cut off a lot of stuff they don't want us using. So,
right.
Kind of a bummer, you know. Anybody have any questions for any of our presenters this evening?
Can't stop sharing for some reason.
I think you got it.
Oh, okay.
Well, if there are no questions, I thank everybody for joining us. You guys did a great job. Wonderful ideas. And I look forward to next week. Everybody have a great evening and weekend.
Thank you so very much. Bye, everybody.